it's beautiful, Mike. It really is.
Bienvenue au David Lee Roth. Faites comme chez vous, nous on le fait. Roth, 6h du mat.
Track slapping. Roth Radio is live as we're ever going to be. That's Bad Brian Young from the Roth Band, live in the studio there. We invented a new genre. We're track slapping. We're going to slap that track like it owes us money. We're going to bang that track like a new drum on Hanukkah morning, baby. Hit it, yeah. Oh! Well, we couldn't afford the rest of the band, but when we get ratings, we will. Hey, if David Letterman could sing, he and Shaver would sell out the Garden how many times in a row, right? This could be a good look for us. This could be a good thing, B. Young. Brian Young, all the way out from California, joining us here. I'm going to change the subject. Roth Radio, New York, Philly, Dallas, Boston, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, West Palm Beach, and we're worldwide. From Rio to Roanoke, everywhere from Broadway to Cheyenne, we're getting emails from Russia, Berlin, let me see here, Helsinki, Sweden, you bet, 866-313-3733. Just in, Tommy Lee's life. This is Tommy Lee from Motley Crue, right?
Yeah.
Hey, at least I got my health, huh? No, it snowed here in the last day here. I've been snotting and hacking like a stripper on a Sunday morning, man. Actually, it's probably from the road in the 80s. Tommy Lee, speaking of. Tommy Lee's life is being made into a movie. Tommy Lee's life always was a movie. No, not that kind. Some kind of monster director is shooting for a candid glimpse behind the celebrity. Some kind of monster was the Metallica
yeah,
movie.
The Metallica movie.
Did you see the Metallica movie?
I did. I really enjoyed it. It was a lot of fun to look behind the scenes and see all the bitch slapping going on and who was doing what. And then that guy, I can't think of his name, but went to rehab in the middle of it.
That was the main guy. Who's the main guy in Metallica? The one who looks...
Not Lars.
Not Lars.
Oh,
what's the very first one? James?
Hatfield? Yeah.
When he gets angry, he looks...
Yeah, well, when he comes back from rehab, he's got his whole attitude's different. Lars, though, has this really weirdo dad who's got, like, you know, a long Ricola kind of beard and the whole thing, it was a fever dream.
His dad is called the Great Dane, and he was from Denmark as a tennis pro many years. Oh, yeah, an internationally well-known guy who was quite well-known for smoking pot during the 60s and 70s, and he played with a big beard, and he was involved in, all of the hippie ethic and, you know, the alternative lifestyles and so forth. And Lars comes from that kind of a bias. So consequently, Lars is the most sensible one in the band. He has the smoothest tone, you know. Lars himself went to tennis training. He himself was going to become a professional tennis player. You need all that coordination and stamina, just like playing drums. You know, you got to be able to isolate, you know, what your hands are doing from your feet, etc., etc. And he was a live-in student for a while at the Bradenton Tennis School down in Tampa. I went to train there for a few weeks when I was rehabbing my back, the first time I got my back work done. And this is where Venus and her sister train down there, and Nomar Garcia-Barra, and these people all do all of their strength training and endurance training. And Lars was a live-in student in this. So he comes from a bias that's decidedly not music. when you come just from music, you know, just straight out of the trailer into music, hey, it's like we say about pretty girls. You can take the pretty girl out of the cheap underwear, but you can't take the cheap underwear out of the pretty girl. And I'm going to get to her in a second.
I think she's standing right behind you there.
But James, the singer in Metallica, when he gets really angry, especially when he had long hair, does he not look like the Cowardly Lion to you?
I'll smuck him on, knock him on, serious.
Talk me out of it.
If I were king of the forest.
Play, can you play a Metallica riff? Go ahead, man. Do you know one? Turn the track down there.
If I were king of the forest.
Hey, knock it off, knock it off. Those guys don't deserve that. Put the music back. Actually, there was just a thing about they're going to be doing a new album, Metallica is, and I conveniently lost the news here. Metallica, ready to rock again? They never stopped. I love what Metallica has done with heavy metal music, and I really... was that intentional?
Excuse me.
Hey, no editorial. Actually, I introduced Lars to his wife. A number of years ago, back in the early 90s, at the, what was it, the club, Bar Tabak. And he and Bob Rock and the whole band were making, I think it was the very, no, it was the album before last, before the Rehab incident. And they all showed up and everybody was sitting at the table, and that's where Lars met his wife. So I run into the guys periodically, whatever. And I love them to death. I think there's a great shout out to say, I think they've figured out a whole new way to be completely generic and predictable. What do you think, Ben? Okay. Metallica ready to rock again. Metallica is gearing up for their next record. Cool. Producer Bob Rock. I worked with Bob up in Vancouver where, I forget what the name of that studio was, but that's where a whole lot of AC/DC was recording up there at the time. Bon Jovi was in and out of there at a time. And drummer Lars Ulrich told the band's fan club magazine, So What, that Rock is welcome as long as he wants. So they're going to make a whole new record, and it could be by year's end, early 2007. So is he still, is the face still, the front face, what's his Hetfield, is he still in and out of rehab? I guess that's like a permanent adventure or something, right?
Well, he was at, you know, he went in and then came out during the movie, and I suppose the movie was a year ago now, so I really don't know.
So was he a better person when he came out of therapy? Isn't that the whole point?
You know, it's a horrible, horrible thing for me to say, but he was a douche when he came out of rehab. He was just an angry, you know, as everybody is when you take away your toys.
Well, so, good. The very last thing that I want to see is everybody getting along like Eddie Van Halen and Sammy Hagar, because then all you get is digestible baby food that goes out, that leaves the same way it went in.
I'd love to know how he's doing now.
Who?
How Hetfield's doing, because they were just at each other's throats.
Well, then that's the chemistry that creates that kind of tension. That music has an extreme amount of tension. Even though there's only like four notes to it, turn the music down. Play that riff again. Listen to that. That's an intense riff. Go. These are not happy people. These are
no.
These are not approachable people. These are not content people. These are my kind of people, like all of you listening. I told him when I got this job, I'm not a comic. I'm not a comedian. I'm not here to make you funny. I have a sense of humor, but it's got a lot of teeth, kind of like New York City or Pittsburgh or Cleveland, or kind of like Dallas, Texas, you know. He said, well, then what are you? I said, I'm just like you, man. I'm a cynic. And you'll never get tired of me speaking your mind. I think Metallica is kind of the same way, right? If they're all sitting cross-legged, barefoot, on folding metal chairs like at Oprah Winfrey show, sharing with each other, if I hear anybody in Metallica say the word share, thanks for sharing, Lars.
No, it's not gonna happen.
I'm sorry?
It's not gonna happen.
Also, I use Metallica music as a clear-cut example of how difficult it is and difficult it is not to make pop video. You want to hear? Seriously. Next time the football game is on, because it's major football season, right? Put Metallica on the stereo. Put the football game on. Turn the sound off on the football game. Put Metallica on. Full blast. It'll make better sense than anything currently on MTV. Tell them Roth sent you.
Yeah.
Okay, let's get to the real source of rock and roll here. Because talking about rock and roll and looking at it is as much fun or more than listening to it, right?
Sometimes.
Sing me a Tommy Lee song. See? I'm serious. But you're prepared to talk about him for an hour, right? You've got a million thoughts. You've got a million ideas. I could bring up his whole love life. You can reflect on each and every one of those dames, right? So what is he famous for?
Being really hot.
You think he's hot? Does he strike you as hot?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Even when Nick and I play, okay, you get to have one person. Tommy Lee is often in the mix.
That's Tommy Lee is the one that you pick. He's got that pirate skinny yard dog.
He's got the pirate thing. And Johnny Depp is always on my list, too. And when you think about it, they're not that different.
No, Johnny has a soft edge. There's fluff.
Well, yeah, and I'd want to talk to Johnny the next morning. Tommy, I'm not so sure about. However.
But maybe that's the attraction for you with Tom, is that he's incapable of speech.
Good. Well, you remember the video he made? All you'd hear him saying is like, oh, you're so hot, and oh, you're so beautiful. I mean, you know, the guy is no Einstein. But maybe that's part of it.
No, that's your attraction.
That's what I'm saying.
It's a yard dog. He's a desperate man. Plus, you can read him.
The Illustrated Rock.
Well, he passed that point. He reached a point where you start getting tattoos, and that's great. And then there's a point, if you're not careful and you're not thinking ahead in a design sense, like with Axl Rose. Axl, I hope you're not listening to this. But like with Axl Rose, who, to my overview, he looks like he fell asleep on a park bench up at Central Park. And some kids snuck up and glued jujubes and decals all over him. And then stole his wine. And he got up when it was starting to rain and didn't notice them for 3 days. You never thought of that?
It's like a bad fraternity prank.
Exactly. Where you write something, I suck. You write that on somebody's forehead. It kind of turned out like that. It's sort of...
He's got kick me tattooed across his back.
It's a haphazard, which may be the attraction, which may be what makes it cool, completely cool. But Tommy has since passed that point. He's sort of filled in all the margins. He's added in the accompanying illustrations, the syllabus, the coming attractions, the credits, the photo credits. Right? If found, please alert. All that stuff, right? Blood stats, everything.
Reward.
You can read him now. He's become he himself is an art project. He's decided to become an art project and not just wear one. And I salute that. Turn up the music.
Here we go.
Anyway, Tommy Lee's life is being made into a movie, and Tommy is ready for his close-up. Only this time, someone else will be behind the camera, and he's actually excited about people seeing his private life because the director of the documentary is going to be the guy who did the Metallica movie.
That is correct.
I told you this will all dovetail. He's somewhere around the end of the hour. No, you know, everybody's, you know, descending, you know, like to a, you know, one specific point here. Where am I bouncing around? But this is what I was leading up to. Are we going to be able to see the real Tom, or is this going to be concocted Tom? Because we've already seen some reality Tom. And I got to admit, it was really entertaining. Did you see the Tommy Lee?
I didn't miss one, yes. It was riveting because they're...
Because
why? He seemed like a regular guy. Seeing a rock star like that living with this nerdy kid in college, it was really amazing.
I found it supremely impressive that he had absolutely no capabilities in any area.
But he was cool with that, you know? He was like, okay.
And I agree. That was cool. Tom has no message. That's his message. It's a great message.
But he didn't try to be someone he wasn't, and that made him somewhat endearing.
That would require effort, homework.
Yeah, he didn't pass a lot of classes.
No, he didn't pass any
classes. He barely passed his drum thing.
He didn't even pass that. You notice that they cut it out. He couldn't hang. And I think that he realizes that, and he's easy with that. He fits perfectly into, you know, what's happening in American popular culture. He's an accessible hero. Okay? All right, I have an
well
idea.
Said.
I have an idea here. Suppose that they're going to make a movie about you.
Uh-huh.
Okay? One movie would be written by the written up by the critics as shockingly real and unrelentingly fair, right?
Uh-huh.
And they interview all of your friends and your probation officers and your ex-lovers and blah, 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 right?
Uh-huh.
And then they make a movie that's a complete blockbuster, Jerry Bruckheimer, Disney World extravaganza that's based loosely on your life. But most of it is cocked up BS, you know. It's glamorized, it's overly intensified, it's over-romanticized. The critics hate it, but the public loves it. Which one, and you can only pick one, would you go see, Robin? Think about that. I want Mike to tell me about Tommy Lee while you wander around.
My own head.
Here you go. Mike, talk to me about Tommy Lee, Roth Radio. You're on live. Swing.
Go ahead, brother.
What's up, brother? How are you, Dave?
Great. What's on your mind?
Listen, man, I met this dude one time at an airport, and I'm going to tell you something. I was talking to him while I was doing the talking for like 15 minutes. And there's like, I don't know if it's people from California, no offense. There's nobody home there, but all of a sudden, like out of nowhere, like he's got Tourette's, he like blurts stuff out, man. It's like really, it was really creeping me out, you know? But I'm gonna tell you what, man. He's a real cool dude, though, man. He's just a little strange, man.
So what you're saying, he blurts out, it's kind of like Sly Stallone who kind of talks like, Tommy is not that inarticulate. Are you a Tommy Lee fan? Go ahead. Are you Tommy? Hold on 1 second. I got a phone call. Hold on.
Yo, I'm on the air. I'll call you back. I'm on the air.
Okay, we're back. Are you still there? Okay, that was Tommy Lee.
Playing bass with this guy when he was doing a solo thing, but man, I'll tell you, I don't know if I'm going to play with him, bro.
I know. You know what? His new song, Good Times, well, it's not brand new anymore. I like the tune. You know, as far as a sentiment, that's pretty one-dimensional, but hey, we don't hire Tommy for more than that. I think his last song was really good, and I got a theory here that involves Tommy Lee, and I want to address that right after this. Don't go away, guys.
Great stuff.
David Lee Roth, weekday mornings.
Roth Radio, a primera hora, Televisión Dave, solamente. Yeah.
Animal knows this one. Because we're doing the butt all night long. We are doing the butt right here at Roth Radio. Stop him before he kills again. Animal, he's doing the butt. He's crushing Robin. New York. New York, New York, Philadelphia, Dallas, Boston, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, West Palm Beach, 866-313-3733, talking Tommy Lee. According to The Hollywood Reporter, the Motley Crue drummer, who starred in last year's NBC reality show Tommy Lee Goes to College, will be the subject of a still-untitled film that is currently in pre-pro and is slated to begin shooting in the spring. In the rock world, there are few figures as colorful as Tommy Lee, and not just because of his tattoos. Keep your day job, Sinofsky. This project seeks a candid glimpse behind the celebrity and tabloid personality into who Tommy really is. There is nothing behind Tommy. What you see is what you get, right? Everything is the open book, classically, right? Or the unzipped fly, as the case may be.
Do you think this movie will be as good as his first one?
Well, it'll certainly won't be as popular.
Or as long.
Well, it's not going to star Pamela Anderson. He was the co-star. No, arguably, he was the co-star and it was a special guest. Little Elvis was the special guest. Actually, Tommy didn't even need to be there. Just Little Elvis and Pamela Anderson, right? I hate to say it, but you could probably mail that in, you know. It's, that's,
You'd need a big envelope, though.
Who said that?
I'm just glad I didn't.
It's the Wizard of Oz, but with a little reverb. Everybody's here. Everybody who's anybody is listening in. Roth Radio, Sea to Shining Sea, New York, Philadelphia, Dallas, Boston, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, West Palm Beach. Is Tommy a hero? Is Tommy Lee really a hero? Because he's like an accessible hero. Do we need heroes so much now that we're willing to kind of lower the bar? Is that what's going on? Because what's Tommy really famous for? And don't say Motley Crue, or I'm going to ask. Okay, say it.
Well, what do you think he's famous for?
I'm going to ask you. What do you think Tommy is famous for?
Booty calls.
Yeah, probably. You know what? You're right. Tommy's famous for being married to Pamela Anderson.
Yeah. Is he famous for Motley Crue? It was a famous band, but Animal, yes. Sing me a Motley Crue song. Go. Turn the music off there, Hutch. Go ahead. Sing it.
Oh, man. You got me on the spot, man.
Well, this is my point entirely, is that if there were songs, because you could sing Beatles songs. I could list you a number of Beatles songs. You'd be able to sing them to me.
Help. Need somebody help.
There you go. And you may not even have been born when that song was happening. So that's a testimonial to actual songwriting or showmanship, right?
I wasn't born, Dave. I came from an egg.
A Montgomery, Alabama goose egg, huh? A catfish egg. Do catfish lay eggs? More about that after this. Think of it this way, and I'm getting this out of my good friend Chuck Klosterman's, I consider it the Bible. I quote from this routinely, sex, drugs, and Cocoa Puffs. And he maintains, and maybe this is a good discussion here, is that the level of heroes has disintegrated, that the bar isn't even on a setup anymore, that it's like playing, like in some school systems, they have jump rope, but without the rope, so that nobody can fail. There is no more high bar, there's no low bar, there's just no hurdle. For example, Marilyn Monroe, who did she date? Okay.
Who didn't she date?
Well, no. The top three guys that she was squeezing was the greatest that America had to offer in terms of whatever, baseball,
right.
Arguably. Joe DiMaggio, right?
Right.
That was her husband.
Mm-hmm. Arthur Miller.
Arthur Miller, the playwright. That was Death of a Salesman, etc. One of the greatest, most applauded playwrights in the history of the sport. And
JFK.
Then John F. Kennedy, one of the most well-known politicians ever. I don't know if he was the greatest or the worst or whatever, but he's certainly one of the most well-known. Agreed?
And hottest.
Okay. Now, you've got, you jump ahead and you have Pamela Anderson. And she has squeezed the guy in Poison, Tommy Lee, and Kid Rock. I just want to think about that for a second. Also, this is a national holiday. Just an aside here before we get into this. It's just an aside. But I was watching on, I think it was National Geographic or A&E the other night, that... before he was shot, Lincoln had been in Monroe, Maryland, okay, and his doctor's name was Kennedy. And that before Kennedy was shot the night before, he had been in Marilyn Monroe. Coincidence?
Perhaps. That's when they called her Marilyn Monroe.
The level of heroes has disintegrated, do you think?
Yeah, especially with Idol, American Idol. And all the reality shows and stuff, everybody's a star now.
These are accessible stars, right?
Accessible stars.
Why is that?
Everybody's desperate.
Do we need heroes even more, or are we just more fun? It's just more fun to laugh at certain heroes.
Well, there's that. Yeah. But sure, everybody wants to be a hero now, and everybody thinks they can be a star. Well, you see the people who turn out for these American Idol things.
How is American Idol going now?
It starts tomorrow, I think. So it's a whole new season, and Carrie Underwood, the girl who won last year, is on the charts, and that Bo Bice guy, and you know, they're all
Is that how you pronounce his name? Bo Bice?
Bo Bice.
He actually selling records?
I do not know.
Because Kelly Clarkson is selling a lot of records. She's real popular, right?
She is. Mm-hmm. And Kelly's selling a ton. And Carrie Underwood, I don't know how she's doing, but I know she's in the top 20 charts today. So...
You know what? You're rattling off a lot of names, and I got a question. Is this like Jennifer Aniston in Five Summers?
What do you mean?
Who even remembers?
Yeah, well, that's what I think.
It's popular right now, but it's like Chinese food. Boom. And, you know, 30 minutes later.
And where is it popular? You know, is it popular in the flyover states, or is it popular in the major markets? I don't know.
Do they even have top 40 radio anymore? Really? Is that even a popular issue? Go ahead, Hutch.
We are now top 40 radio. Talk radio. is now the new top 40.
Nonsense. Opinion. Who told you that? Oh, some promotion director told you that.
Directly from me, Dad.
Tommy Lee's life is being made into a movie not that kind. You know what? Gene Simmons is making a reality series now. And he wanted to come up here and shoot whatever. And I said, no, because obviously, you know, we're just getting stuff built up here. We're in a, what do you call this, a state of disarray?
A divine state of disarray.
Well, actually, no, what they did is they said they were going to redesign the Howard Stern studio next door, and all they really did was scrape it clean. They didn't actually change the structure or anything in there. And you know how they say that all artwork is autobiographic, that even if you just write your name, people can tell things about you from that? The next room over, when they redesigned it, was redesigned in Tom Gisano's self-image. And now it looks and feels a lot like the waiting area for the prostate doctor. Well, it's going to hurt in the morning when Tom hears about this. But that's why we're in this little room here. We're actually up the hall, and we're doing it in the old K-Rock studio here, which is more like... I don't know, what do you call this? This is a space station meets what?
Yeah, meets outpost.
70s stoner bedroom.
Stoner bedroom, right. Yeah. And we're playing a lot of albums of mine. In fact, everything that you hear in the background is my own record collection. They gave us a free carte blanche to play everything. We're playing all the albums, not just the ones that are good for cleaning and out. That's a pot joke from the 70s. Anyway, Tommy Lee. Which is kind of a, you know, a rock joke from... I like Tommy, and I think he's great. But I'm very curious as to what you're going to see behind the scenes that means anything, right? What are we going to see? Is this going to be a guilty pleasure, or is this going to be something that charms us, and he moves on to something else? What do you think?
We already learned so much about him when he went to college. Yeah, I can't imagine what it's going to be. I suppose it's going to be family stuff, and we already met his mom. When he went off to college.
Wasn't his mom like a beauty queen or some such? No, I think she was like Miss Greece or something like that. Like G-R-E-E-C-E.
As opposed to like Miss Coffee Shop Greece?
Yeah. Hey, I come from a part of the country in Indiana where if we say it's just like mom's home cooking, and I go, yeah, except the chef is neither drunk nor wearing a green tube top. Hey, maybe they can all be gems. Roth Radio, New York, Philadelphia. Roll out old Texas skies. Dallas, Texas. Boston, Cleveland. Congratulations, Pittsburgh. West Palm Beach. I'm going to look forward to the Motley Crue routine. And I'm going to be very curious if they're actually going to keep it real. Like I brought up that, you know, that brain teaser a little bit. Would you rather see the real deal or the accelerated version? Give us a call. 866-313-3733. Is Tommy Lee a star? Is he a hero? Is he an icon of American culture, or is this a guilty pleasure that everybody's propping up? It's like the emperor has no clothes. And I'm not going to take a side either way on this.
He's a pinup. Tommy Lee is a pinup for ladies.
You think so?
I do.
Ladies, give us a call. 866-313-3733. And fellas, is Pamela Anderson a superstar? Is she a supermodel, or is she just another prop-up job? Bad choice of verbs, but maybe not.
It takes a lot of prop.
Roth Show exploding. Hey, we don't just talk about the subjects. We approach them like a fire hose. Like a fire hose at a race riot. Roth Radio, don't go away. Take a load of this, Pam. Yeah! Woo!
David Lee Roth in the mornings.
Su atención, por favor. David Lee Roth, primera hora. Solamente hacemos esto a primera hora porque te amamos. Your attention, please. David Lee Roth, first thing in the morning. We only do this because we love you.
Sounds like the wave station, doesn't it? I'll do a wave ID, right?
Welcome to the smooth breeze that is Roth Radio. Hey, baby. pull on over, cowgirl. I'm gonna blow you a kiss that's gonna reach all the way from Manhattan and skip off the floor in Kansas City. And you're gonna feel it all the way through the fly of your 501s. Likewise, cowgirl, hang on tight.
Isn't that what it sounds like?
It sounds like that. I gotta go now.
Slide on out of here, Robert.
Cool. Cool as the other side of your pillow. Roth Radio. For fro or row, it's the only way to go. It's Johnson & Johnson fine Afro Sheen hair care products. For fro or row, it's the only way to go. And don't forget, all new Afro Sheen Bergamot Shampoo. We used to practice this when I was like 12, and now I do it for money.
You can make anything sound sexy. You could probably make a potato chip commercial sound sexy.
Let me try and do like the alphabet. I could do the alphabet.
Do the alphabet. Okay,
bring the music in here. Here we go. Here we go. A. B. C. D. E. Let's start again.
Oh, I was looking forward to F.
I'm big on focus. Focus is what we're all about here. 866-313-3733. We're going to talk about Tommy Lee and all the dynamic musical stylizations in his very interesting social resume. We'd like all of you to give us a call, young ladies out there, old ladies too. Welcome to Diamond Dave's Tiki Bunker, where the debris meets the sea. All morning, and if we're lucky, right on up until happy hour, last syllable of time. Happy hour from 5 till February, here at David Lee's, 866-313-3733. Let's just go with the top of the list. Joel, he wants to talk about the American Idol phenomena.
Hello?
Joel.
Hi.
Go ahead, Joel.
Mr. Ross.
Go ahead.
I just want to make a quick comment about American Idol. And if we take a country that doesn't have as much money as America and has a lot to do with music, say Jamaica, for instance, and you look at a lot of their stars that they've had, 60% or more have come from local talent shows. Okay?
But does that say anything about the quality of Jamaican music, Joel?
What I'm saying is that the people would boo those people off the stage very fast if it wasn't for their talent. And it makes them get back up there and try again. Now, in America, you can make one hit song, not know how to sing, and retire for your entire career. That is possible.
I don't think that's necessarily possible in terms of what you're going to make. I mean, when I make, for example, if I make an album, by the time I pay off the band, the management, the agent, the transportation, the cargo, the roadies, the security animal, the most I'm going to have left over is enough for a brand new dual offboard offshore ocean racing yacht. I just wanted to see if he caught that.
Come off of it, and you're, you know, Hollywood.
I'm joking. Okay, I'm joking off. But for example, who was the guy who the Korean fella? What was his name?
William.
Oh, the guy they made fun of on the other show, right?
William Hung. Oh, yeah. Where is William Hung right now? Where is William Hung? Is he in the movies or something?
Is it CAA?
I
saw him at Burger King the other day.
So you're saying that basically it doesn't really have to do with pure talent. But that has to do with the audience. America doesn't know what it wants. America is very bipolar when it comes to entertainment.
But America also loves to go boo even more than we love to go yay. Witness the Hilton sisters.
That is sad to say.
Witness, if you will, the Hilton sisters, who actually don't do anything for a living either. And they're absolutely fascinating. You know, if they walked in here right now, it'd be madam for your bottom. I'm not kidding. And I think that as far as like William Hung, you know, there's an opportunity for him to get into the movies or whatever. William Hung should be in the next Adam Sandler movie, right? He should definitely be in the picture show. But as far as being able to make a record and that you're going to live off of that, that's a crazy utopian fantasy, man. That's nonsense. And today, the requisite career, the requisite career is 3.5 summers long. That's it.
Okay. And last I look, I'm not a terribly big Frank Sinatra fan, but he made 99 records in the Reprise years alone. That's just on one thing. Tito Puente made over 112 albums. Today, you'd be lucky if you get to your fourth album. Lucky if you get to your fourth album. Most bands, in fact, if you think about it, are dead and gone after 6 years. Think about it. Led Zeppelin, 6.5 years. Beatles, 6.5 years. Van Halen, 7 years. The Doors, well, they were about 5 years, but he was throwing up for most of that, so. I'm not kidding. So, are you a fan of American Idol, or do you hate it? Go ahead.
I like the fact that they're trying to do something with talent instead of letting their marketing people do it for them. I am happy that they're at least trying. It's baby steps, you know? I mean, they're at least making an effort, getting up there, trying to do their thing and really singing. And America's used to hearing real singing.
And I think that Paula Abdul is making an extra effort from what I'm hearing in the tabloids and stuff. And I want to congratulate her with that. Wasn't she assisting one of the one of the others in his ambitions for fame? And
she made an extra effort. I think he had her prescription cough syrup.
I would totally hope that she makes the extra effort. Man, I love that kind of subtext because I'm going to imagine that anyway.
And isn't it good to hear Kelly Clarkson to know that you were there to see her and now you hear her killing it on the radio just like... blowing everybody away?
Well, whether you like her or not, in fact, if you hate her and she's awful and she's still winning and selling millions of records, that's kind of even cooler, isn't it?
Yeah, it's very cool. I saw her from her childhood all the way up, her beginning start.
See, I have that kind of twist in my personal sense of humor where it's like I'll wear clothes that I know nobody likes because in the room nobody's going to say anything, but they squeal and hiss like wieners on a barbecue, man. and part of me just loves it, especially if Kelly Clarkson stinks. And I'm not saying she does, but if she's awful and terrible and we're all being forced to listen to it, like Oprah says, go, girl. Yeah! Thanks for calling, Joel. Wow, the Tommy Lee issue has really rung up the phones here. Somebody wants to talk about Pam Anderson. That's Tommy Lee's better half. Frank, talk to Roth Radio. We want to know. Frank, you're on.
How's it going, David? Welcome.
Thank you, sir. Go ahead.
Yeah, Pam Anderson, she's what's wrong with America. You meet a girl these days, all their confidence is shot, no matter how good-looking they are. You have girls walking around with that plastic surgery, making millions of dollars, and it shoots the confidence right down.
So you're saying that she has no confidence?
No, what I'm saying is by having her looks enhanced with plastic surgery, it takes a normal, beautiful-looking girl and ruins the confidence for them.
Well, I think in Hollywood, plastic makes perfect, and I'm all a fan of if, in fact, the wages of age and gravity have dragged something closer to the floor or even forced it to fall out. Do what the Dutch did. Just prop it up. But I liked Pam when she was the early stages. You follow? She was a sweetie. She came to New York, she came to Los Angeles and got into the fast lane a little bit. I think that she still has a great attraction. Probably like my mom used to say to me, Dave, with the right lighting, you can go far. Yeah. Chris, he's going to talk to me about Pamela Anderson's best half. Chris, you're on Roth Radio. Share it with us, Chris. Go ahead.
Hey, Dave, how you doing?
Great today. What's up?
I'm a longtime fan. It's great to talk to you. You're doing a good job on the radio.
Thank you, sir.
I wanted to talk about Tommy Lee. I don't think there's anything left in the fuel tank for us to be interested in. There's really nothing. I mean, what can you talk about? What can you make a two-hour movie on Tommy Lee about?
Well, he's going to carry him off the cushions like a lost ball, right? That's the hope. That's the ambition, is that it becomes a guilty pleasure. Is that I'm torn between whether you want to see the guy do well or take a pratfall. What do you think it is?
I want to see him do well. I think I'd rather see most people do well and make lots of money and everybody becomes famous. But, I mean, what's the attraction?
Is the attraction perhaps that you don't have to do anything and that you can be massively famous and massively popular? And like, the Hiltons, see, they actually do something. They are inheritors, right? They are the scions of wealth. They're going to be trust fund babies.
Well, I think they're appealing to the lowest common denominator. That's what I think they're actually doing. I think they're appealing to, it's like the Jerry Springer audience. You know, you watch them to make yourself feel better. I think that's all it is there.
Ah, now there's an interesting point. These are characters that perhaps we're using for better him than me, kind of a reflection. Didn't we used to use the Bible for that, Ryman?
Don't ask me, man. Not a book I read.
No, seriously.
I did see the movie. But no.
Before I got the T-shirt. Before there was the printing press, etc., everybody used the Bible for lessons learned, and most importantly, not how to be, but better him than me. Better that he turn into a pillar of salt than me. Maybe now we use tabloids. My favorite of all time is Page Six. It's sitting right here in front of me. It's the only thing I use for the news. It's in the subtext in between all of the actual print. So you got to use your brain a little bit when you read Page Six. But it's all truly there. What do you think, Chris?
I think that's about right. That sums it up. I think we're all paying attention to what's going on in Tinseltown. And hopefully we're not losing focus on our own life.
Isn't that the whole point? Let's lose focus on our own life.
A little bit, sure. Dive in a little bit, but I think you want to keep your head above water to actually see what reality is all about.
Where are you calling from, Chris? I hear an accent.
No accent. It's Ontario, Canada.
Outstanding. Are you listening to us on the internet up there?
Yeah, I am. Yeah.
DavidLeeRoth.com. Like I said, from Broadway to Cheyenne, he's calling up from in Canada. We are worldwide.
Dave, you gotta do me one favor. You gotta log on to RothArmy.com. And take a look at your huge fan base there.
Oh, okay. Absolutely. We're starting to spread. You know what the big difference between Manhattan and Canada is, Chris?
What's that?
Is that you finish with A. You go, you know what I mean, eh? And we start with A, Chris. 866-313-3733.
A. I love Canada, baby. Swing it.
David Lee Roth in the mornings.